many years ago, about 8 years ago to be exact, we did a series called The Verbs, and it was 31 Days in Proverbs. And so this was, we were back at Frank Theaters, and we were kind of talking, you know, there's 31 days in January, and there's 31 Proverbs, so like we kind of read a proverb every day, and then kind of talked about them every week. And so that first week, Don kind of covered this like knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And there was two kind of infamous slides, and they're very much Action Church slides. The first one, God will let you do stupid stuff. And this is direct from these slides. Don was summing up wisdom, and for some reason, wisdom for him is always, you do stupid stuff, forgiveness is not a time machine. And so Don, of course, had a great example for us this week of something stupid happens, forgiveness is not a time machine. And so this is the typical kind of Action Church sermon, isn't it? We, like, life is hard, God is good, life will still be hard, you know, God will let you do stupid things. And that's kind of been it. And over the years, like, this kind of forgiveness is not a time machine phrase has come up. I've heard you guys say it. We've said it in other sermons. I've heard people mention this. And it's, I'm not here to bash the truth, obviously. I named the whole series after that. But forgiveness is not a time machine. You know, it's kind of obvious. Like, it's just because you ask forgiveness or someone forgives you doesn't mean, like, everything's better. Like, there's still a broken lamp. There's still broken relationships. There's still issues. And so this has been true for Action Church. My problem is that we haven't really talked about forgiveness outside of this. So, like, if you're a kid at Action Church, you know, that's 8 years ago, so you're talking to your 8-year-old kid, and you're like, hey, how do you apologize, or should you apologize? The kid's just going to be like, well, you know, forgiveness is not a time machine. Yeah, but, like, you know, do you think you should say, how many times should you say you're sorry, or, like, how often should we forgive? Should we forgive everybody? And that answer would just be, well, you know, forgiveness, it's not a time machine, you know. And so we don't really have, we haven't talked about, like, forgiveness and apologizing and what that means. And so I kind of wanted to do that this month a little bit. We aren't great at asking for forgiveness either, are we? Like, I know, like, for me, it's really, really hard. And I can't imagine sitting in the car with a banker. That sounds terrible. But people will just say, sorry. And it's not like there's no I'm, there's no admission that it was me. They just say, sorry. And it's like, okay, well, that's not an apology. Just saying sorry is not an apology. And or they'll say, I'm sorry that you feel this way, which is just infuriating. It makes me so angry when I hear that. Like, I'm sorry if I offended you with my whatever. I feel like it's another Michael Scott. I'm sorry I offended you with my friendship. I'm sorry if, you know, you feel like that. And again, we're not, like, admitting, we're not apologizing. We also do the, that wasn't my fault, but sorry, which is very much the Michael Scott, you know, you must get a SWAT team, get me out of this office. This wasn't me, but I'm sorry that it happened to you, kind of thing. Or you have the opposite of the people who don't want to admit anything and just say sorry. You have the, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. I can't believe I did that. I don't know why I did that. I'm such a terrible person. Will you please, please, please forgive me? And it's all about them. And it's like they're there groveling to you and just like, oh, okay, I feel like you're just kind of making this about you and just making a bit of a mess here. And so I grew up with my mom teaching me how to apologize. And so it kind of went something like this. So what we had to do is you would say, I'm sorry. And a mom would be like, what are you sorry for, Josiah? Or later on when, like, I kind of knew the thing, what are you sorry for? It'd be like, I'm sorry for, and I'll be like, okay. And then you have to say what you're sorry for. So I'm sorry for peeing behind the shed in full view of the neighbors and then lying to you about it. And then, you know, it's like, will you please forgive me? And then mom would say, yes, I forgive you, Josiah. And then she'd start a mini mom rant that I deserve about, you know, urinating in public and that you're going to get arrested and blah, blah, blah. And then on top of that, too, after we apologized, we usually had to do something to, like, make up for it, which, you know, we talk about reconciliation or time, you know, forgiveness is not a time machine, but so I would have to do something. Now, I don't remember this specific scenario, what I had to do to make up for peeing in full view of the neighbors, but we recently moved, and I found this journal. I saw it sitting on a shelf. I'm like, that looks really familiar, and I opened it up, and that, first off, that cover is money, if I might say. That was a pun. Anyways, and I opened it up, and I found a journal entry from 1997 that I wrote that kind of details a forgiveness apology scenario that happened in my family. And I will read it to you today. I had two, T-O-O, clean my sister's dresser, I believe, because, comma, I pushed her into the door, comma, and I wouldn't let her get, one word, her toothbrush. So, apparently in November 13th, 1997, I felt the need to journal that I had to clean my sister's dresser because I pushed her into a door, and then I wouldn't let her get her toothbrush. And so I guarantee what happened is this happened. I was keeping her from, I don't know why I wasn't letting her get her toothbrush in the bathroom, but I pushed her, mom brought us together, and I had to say, Kirsten, I'm sorry. And mom, you know, what are you sorry for? I'm sorry for not getting your, letting you get your toothbrush and pushing you into the door. And will you please forgive me? And then Kirsten would have to say, yes, I forgive you. And then we have the hug, because that was the brother-sister thing, which was probably, like, I'm not a touching kind of guy, so it was the worst. And then mom would start her mini mom rant that I deserve. And then after that, I have to do something nice, which in this case, I had to clean my sister's dirster. This was something that was just ingrained in me. Like, we were trained to do this over and over again. And apologizing to me when I hear these other apologies, like, that's not how you do it. And so I get a little, like, you know, high and mighty about, and especially when I hear Don's, like, okay, how do we apologize? Well, forgiveness is not a time machine. And then, like, crickets. And it's like, all right, so we got something to talk about here. So this month, I want to kind of talk about this, and I, as Don will say a lot too, I'm not an expert in the Bible, but I am an expert in apologizing because I've had to do it a lot because I have a little bit of a jerk problem in my life. And I have opinions and I like to share them, and then sometimes I don't know that I shouldn't share them, or I do know and I want to share them anyways because I'm a jerk. So I have apologized a lot, and I've got a great, terrible story of maybe not as bad as, like, didn't cost me a lot of money like that, maybe it cost Don, but I've got a story of some painful forgiveness. So here's the problem with talking about forgiveness, which maybe is why we don't talk about it a lot here, but you'll sometimes hear people refer to the Bible as like a handbook or a guide, and it's really not that, and you've heard this from us, that it's a kind of collection or a library of books, and so there's not one place you can go, like, how do you forgive? Like, all I have is literally my mom teaching, this is how you forgive, and apologize, and then, like, we kind of see it throughout Scripture, some, like, little snippets here and there. So what I'm going to do today is kind of show you some of those and kind of tell you why forgiveness is not just not a time machine, but something a little bit more. In the Psalms, in Psalm 51, this is King David writing some emo poetry here, kind of like my journal, except a lot more eloquent. He says, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me." So King David wrote this after his unfortunate relationship with Bathsheba, another man's wife, who he committed adultery with and then had that man killed so that nobody would find out when she was pregnant. It was a terrible story. You can read your Bible on that sometime in the Kings and hear about that. But so he's expressing this remorse. He just did a terrible thing and he was found out. And instead of, like, kind of denying it, which he did a little bit actually, but later on when he wrote this, he says, "Wash away all my iniquity." Iniquity is like immoral or unfair behavior, which what he did was very unfair to the man and his wife. And acknowledging your behavior is the first step. And I think that's important when we talk about forgiveness. And we see King David doing this here. He says, "Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He recognized that he did something wrong, and he felt the weight of that. And he did something about it. So that's kind of like one of the first steps, I think, to apologizing and forgiveness and knowing something is that we look at our lives and it's like, okay, I shouldn't have talked to this person this way, or I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done this. And seeing and feeling that is really important. Moving on, James, the brother of Jesus, later on after Jesus had risen from the dead and left earth, James wrote this. He said, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So confess your sins to each other and pray. And this isn't just like a confess and like a, hey, I did this thing wrong. But this is also like a, hey, apologize to each other. Talk to each other. Ask forgiveness. It's good to speak. It's easy to say it's good to speak your wrongs or the bad things you've done. In the end, it is sin. We just don't like to call it that because it's kind of more painful to us. But it's good for us to speak that out loud and say, I did this, I was wrong in this. And you see this too with like depictions of this currently in like, oh, in the media. And like, we might, if I have time this month, I might share a clip here of some terrible apologies that we've seen happen. And like somebody kind of dances around that they did anything wrong or they're not really admitting it. And this is like, let's say it out loud. Say what you did, admit that you did it. And this is how we seek forgiveness from people and from God. I mean, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is talking about we can seek forgiveness for our sins and confess our sins. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he kind of wrote down in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. Jesus said this. He said, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking, like, he just talked about, like, anger, being angry with somebody is just as bad as murdering and, like, seeking forgiveness for these things. And so nobody is perfect. And he's saying, if you offering your gift to the altar, so for the Jewish custom of coming and creating a sacrifice, and you remember that your brother or sister have something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Stop your whole cleanliness thing and go make it right. Go apologize. Go seek forgiveness. Go be reconciled to them. And then come and do this. So this is something you need to examine yourself. And it's not just enough to like oh, I feel like that. Look into your, I think this is saying to us that we need to look at our lives and be like, hey, I did that wrong. I need to go apologize to my wife. I can't believe I spoke to her like that. That was wrong. Or like you have a coworker or someone who reports to you or someone at work. It's easy to speak out of turn or treat them that way. And examining ourselves for that and is what we're kind of being commanded here by Christ to do. Later on in Ephesians in our Bible, so this is a letter that Paul wrote to Christians about how they should live. This is after Jesus had come and risen. And he's saying, related to the church in Ephesus, and he said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So being kind and compassionate, part of being kind and compassionate is forgiving each other. So asking for forgiveness or accepting someone else's apology. Part of doing this, and this is also like just as here, just as in Christ, God forgave you, which is huge. And I'm planning on I want to talk a little bit more about that in the coming weeks. But Christ forgave us for what we've done. We also need to mirror Christ and forgive others. And so, being kind and compassionate and showing compassion for the person and saying, you know, it's not just about me. I wronged them. I need to make this right. And this is kind of one of the ways we do this. And then I want to land here. So in Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews wrote this, they said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So if I may, make every effort. It's apologizing and forgiveness it's kind of painful and takes a little work and takes kind of a struggle, or like it's not going to be easy. Like it's something you got to take an extra step to do, and live in peace. I mean, forgiving. Like when we have issues with each other or problems, and that creates strife in our lives. And live in peace is we're making every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. And to be holy is to be dedicated to something or to be set apart. And so the way that we are Christians, the way that we love God and love people and show that with our actions is forgiving. We're making effort to forgive and to apologize and to accept apologies. And then this, I love, like, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So without us, I don't want to stretch to say, without apologizing, no one's going to see Christ in you. But without apologizing, no one's going to see Christ in you. Like, part of what we're called to do as Christians is to apologize. And so this is kind of like an overview. This is a quick little cram session of where I've seen forgiveness and apologies mentioned in Scripture. But what does apologizing actually do? Like, it's one thing to know it's commanded. It's one thing to see, like, okay, I'm going to acknowledge this. But, like, why even waste my time? You know, time, forgiveness is not a time machine. It's not going to make things that better. Like, what's the point? And I think the... it's important to know that forgiveness isn't just about you, but it actually, I think, is pretty good for you. I think forgiveness increases awareness of what you've done. increases awareness of your sin, of what you've done against somebody. You know it, you can feel it. Like when I have apologized and state, I'm sorry for getting angry with you and yelling at you. Will you please forgive me? You feel those words. You feel, I was wrong and I was short-tempered. And it increases the weight of what you've done. You can feel that and you know that you've committed a sin. You've sinned against somebody. And so repenting of something means reviewing your actions to understand why you got into this mess in the first place. So what did I do to get here? Why did I fly off the chain so quick? Or what choices did I make that made me get to a point where I have to apologize to somebody? And it helps you just become aware of what you're doing. Forgiveness and apologizing do that. It's like King David. He was aware of the transgressions he made. He felt the weight of that sin. Or Jesus says at the altar, if you remember your sin, go and make it right. So I want to increase awareness. You'll remember saying, I did this wrong. Will you please forgive me? Because those words, they hurt. I've had to talk, like sometimes I feel like some of the things that I've done that I've apologized for, it was more painful to apologize than the actual like awkwardness of whatever I did. So like if I spoke out of turn or said something to somebody that was inappropriate, I've gone back and apologized, and the apology like hurt more than like if I just let it go. Like I've had some scenarios at work where I've apologized to people and they're like, what are you saying, man? Like, leave me alone. Like, just go away. And it's like, I know, but I need to make this right. I should not have said that to you. And so apologizing can increase awareness. Apologizing also starts the process of reconciliation. I don't know if you've heard this before, but forgiveness is not a time machine. And so we aren't necessarily going to make things right away, but it kickstarts that process. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. And so asking someone to forgive you won't actually like make things better in that moment, but it kind of starts that process. So, and maybe that process of reconciliation, depending on what the wrong was, it might be months or years until something's right. Or it could be starting that process in a week, you guys are kind of on the same page again. But so setting a point, making it a point to apologize and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. This is how we start that process of repentance. And also sets us free. And it's a little pop culture here, and I hear it actually from Christians on negative and positive of like, you know, you need to forgive yourself. And as much as we can kind of go, oh, that's kind of self-helpy, but forgiving others and asking forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, helps set you free from the guilt of what you've done. Like, I'm not saying that you didn't do the wrong thing, because forgiveness is not a time machine, but you did the right thing after doing the wrong thing, and you can no longer have to live with that, oh, man, I never made that right. And it's not reconciliation, that's the starting of the reconciliation, but you kind of, you can feel free. I distinctly remember in the scenario where I apologized to my boss. I said something inappropriate in a meeting, and I went back to him and was like, hey, I shouldn't have said that. Will you please forgive me? And it was painful and like humiliating to be able to have to say that to him. And at the same time, I left his office and like I felt lighter. I felt free. I felt, man, that's not on me anymore. Like I know I did the thing wrong and freedom is not a time machine, but I can breathe. And there's something that kind of in your soul kind of feels lighter. Forgiveness allows us to be free from what we did. And the debt hasn't been paid, but forgiving others and apologizing reminds us that Christ died for our sins. So we're mirroring Christ dying for us by dying to ourselves in that moment. So I'm saying, will you please forgive me for doing this X, Y, Z? And just as we do that, Christ did that for us. Paul said, remember in Paul's verse, he said in Ephesians, kind and compassionate, forgive just as Christ God forgave you. So when we forgive others, we're mirroring Christ and Christ's example for us, which as Christians, you mean Christ's followers, this is what the whole point of what we're doing is to mirror Christ in how we live. Apologizing and forgiving others also helps foster humility. We're reminded that we're not perfect, that we need a Savior. And we'll never be perfect enough on our own. It keeps us humble before God by saying, God, I need your forgiveness for this. Or, God, I know, like, I messed this up again. Will you please forgive me? Seeking forgiveness sometimes is part of praying and talking to others. Foster humility among our peers, too. It's nothing, so humiliating or humbling, whatever you want to say it, going to someone at work and being like, hey, I did this wrong. Will you please forgive me? And like, it's just out of the blue. And like for Christians, I feel like it's sometimes expected a little bit. It's like, okay, well, this person apologized. That's cool that they got that from, you know, Christ's example. I understand why they're doing that. But out of the blue to someone who's not a Christian at work and you're like, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? It creates some humility and it creates like, there's actually some kind of relational things that happens there. I think it kind of mends that relationship a little bit. We're going to talk about that next week. But so forgiveness keeps us humble among our peers. And this isn't to beat ourselves up and say, oh, you're a terrible person and I'm going to apologize over and over again, over, because that's making it about you and not about the other person. But this helps us by apologizing and making changes. Which kind of leads me to one of my last ones here. It creates a path for growth. So atoning and repenting for our sins and our mistakes and the way things we do wrong clears the path for personal growth, doesn't it? So if I say, okay, I'm sorry for doing this, will you please forgive me? And I'm making a note as I'm doing that, I don't ever want to do this again. Like, I don't want to be in this spot. I don't ever want to make that decision again to do this. And of course, you know, we all fail. We're not perfect. We might do it again. But it helps us create a like kind of guide rails and say, all right, I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to do that. If we avoid the responsibility of our errors and actions, we're going to keep making them again and again. I mean, that's the like, you know, it's a typical like, all right, I did that. I don't ever want to go there again. If I kind of ignore something, it's easy to keep doing that and being like, yeah, I know that's hurting that person, but it's fine. The apology in that actual forgiveness part really, really sharpens that, like, your sense there, and you feel that, and you don't want to ever do that again. I don't want to go down that road. Pain was there when I had to ask forgiveness. So this is about, like, discipline and character building and saying, no, I don't want to feel that. No, I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to ask for forgiveness. The Hebrews verse says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is a great verse, and I love what it kind of says about being peaceful, and I want to make things right and show a lot of effort. What's really interesting is the verse right before it, which this is a typical teacher thing, where, hey, look at this thing, and then look at this thing up here, but Hebrews 12:11, three verses before that, says this. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, and this, I don't have this up on your screen, this is like this verse is such a, like a, I don't know, I feel this verse in my bones literally right now. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. All the 30 and 40 and 50 year olds are like, yeah. And make level the paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So this is all one section of verse. This discipline, this apologizing, asking forgiveness, it trains us. No apology seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace and kindness and compassion. It trains us. We learn from our apologies. We learn from our forgiveness. We learn from the act of doing it. It kind of disciplines us to say, no, I don't want to feel that again. No, I don't want to go there. I know I did this wrong, and I'm going to admit it to you and seek to make that right. And sometimes it's seeking to make it right, and that's the start of reconciliation, and maybe that'll be reconciled. Maybe it won't be in this lifetime. Or maybe you're seeking forgiveness, and I'm going to make this right, but, you know, forgiveness is not a time machine, and it's going to be a little awkward for the next couple weeks or months until they forgive me for that. My senior year of high school, it was around April. I grew up in a youth group, and I had a great youth group. I had a great youth pastor. I had a great group of friends that kind of, we all came together and really, like, it was so cliche and, like, churchy, but, like, spurred each other on. Like, I grew a lot through my high school experience with my friends I grew up with. And so under this youth pastor, I learned a lot, and he kind of helped develop us and build us and It was a great time, and then in April, my senior year, the youth pastor was, you know, as youth pastors do, suddenly fired. It's a typical, you know, pattern, as I learned later in life, that, you know, youth pastors are youth pastors for a reason, you know. Anyway, no. But so he was fired, and I was crazy mad, crazy upset about this. Like, I'm like, what, did you see what our friends and I have done? Like, we've built our own Bible study. We're getting together on a weekly basis under this man's leadership. We've done all this stuff. My friends and I were just very, very upset by this. Like, Rachel and I were talking about this, my wife and I. I'm pretty sure if that hadn't happened, I probably still would be going to that church because I grew up in this church. I love that church. And this was just devastating to me. It really, like, kind of rocked the kind of trajectory of my life a little bit. So he was fired, and his daughter I was friends with, and it was her birthday. And so all of us friends got together for her birthday and went over to their house. And so it was his house. And I was somewhat of a musician is a little bit... I'm not a musician who writes nice songs like Tyler here or like any other musicians. It was more of a musician who like writes like joke songs to like kind of like burn your friends kind of thing. Like, hey, like, dude, that girl you dated was so ugly. Or like, hey, like, what's wrong with you? You are a terrible driver. I don't know. It was dumb, stupid high school stuff. Anyway, so I like to write songs. And I like to write songs that made fun of people. And so at this party, sitting at the piano, all my friends around, who all of us are very upset, I think it was with the help of them, but who knows. I was sitting at the piano. I was the one playing the piano and singing the melody. Went to write a song about our youth pastor being fired, and his boss, the song was about his boss. We'll just call him Pastor. That way we don't name names here. I wrote a song about killing him. And it's awful, and it's funny now, and it's like, oh, well, high schooler. But I wrote a song about killing him, and it was explicit and specific, and... it's embarrassing, honestly. I think people call them like rap battles now, like where I can post it on YouTube. I'm pretty sure if I had done this today, I would be on CNN, and you'd be like, "Oh, that's the kid who made a death threat on that guy, and he's in jail now." But I wrote a song with a group of my friends, and so there we are, all in a circle, in me at the piano playing and singing this song about killing Mr. Pastor, and. You like it was venting. Like as far as like what teenagers do, I mean, come on, it's not that big of a deal. Like we could have done much worse things, like stealing, entering, breaking, entering, all kinds of stuff that we could have done as teenagers. I wrote a song, and it comes. I went home that night, and I come to find out that pastor's daughter was best friends with someone at this party, who he then found out about the song, of course. And I come home. Dad's like, come down to the basement, and he is just furious, and right around that time, too, we were talking about this, he had just joined the elder team at this church, so not only was it, like, the church we grew up in, but, like, he was, like, on a board sitting across from this man, and, like, completely, you know, correctly angry, and just, like, you know, talk about murdering somebody. I think I should have been the one to be murdered that night. But he was so angry at me. And my mom, of course, was not angry. She was just disappointed. And it was painful. And so he's like, you know, you need to make this right. And I was scared out of my mind. Like, I don't, it's just a song, Dad. Like, we were all singing it. It wasn't a big deal, whatever. And so I called Mr. Pastor that night and said, I'm sorry for writing a song about killing you. Will you please forgive me? Yes, I forgive you, Josiah. And then I got a little mini pastor rant about how I shouldn't do that. And I understood, like, your words have consequences. And in that moment, I don't think I meant that apology. Years later, I'm glad that my dad did it. I asked him this week, I'm like, Dad, do you remember, like, was there any other punishment for that? He's like, you were 18 years old. I couldn't spank you. Like, I don't know what I was going to do. I thought, like, so make it right. Apologize. But all these years later, I don't remember. Like, I couldn't remember if there was another thing because that apology was so painful. I hated it so much. I honestly hated the man I was apologizing to. I hated the whole situation. I'm telling you, too, like, that whole event changed the trajectory of how I saw church for, you know, stupid someone being fired. But, like, it really affected me. And I think about this verse. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. No apology seems pleasant, but it's painful. but later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. See, I was trained by that apology, by that verse. I'll ask Tyler if you can come back up to the stage now. But forgiveness is not a time machine. It's not going to make things right. But I think it's really, really good for you. It was good for 18-year-old Josiah. It was good for 21, 22, 23, 24, all the way up to 31 years that I am now, of apologizing. It's good for apologizing and learning and making, like, seeing your mistakes you've made and turning from them. Forgiveness and apologizing increases awareness of what you've done. It starts that process of reconciliation. It says, okay, I did something wrong. I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to move. And it sets us free from the guilt. From that, like, you know, 18-year-old Josiah writing a song, he didn't really feel much guilty, but, like, I'm glad I apologized to him that night. And I didn't have to do it, like, years later. It'd be like, hey, I'm really sorry for doing that. Like, I made that right away. And between that humility that we feel when we do that, that humbleness and mirroring Christ who forgave us, it reminds us of what Christ did for us when he forgave us. And forgiveness is not a time machine, but it creates a path for personal growth. It says, I did this, and I don't ever want to do that again. I made that mistake. So this week, Christian or not, because some of the stuff we talked about, we're going to be mirroring Christ as Christians. I'm going to say, I'm a Christ follower. I want to do what Christ did. But, like, creating a path for personal growth or being aware of what you've done or fostering humility, that's good for you, regardless of being a Christian or not. It's kind of a little bit of a freebie thing that we get. So I want you this week to apologize to somebody. I'm sorry for doing X. Will you please forgive me? And that, I'll stand here today and tell you that I don't always say the will you please forgive me, because it's painful to say that. I sometimes chicken out and be like, I'm sorry for scratching your car, or I'm sorry for calling you a name in a meeting. That was wrong. And I don't say the forgive me, but I think that's really important, and I'm going to make a point in my life to try to do that. Apologize to your children. And I'm not asking you to go seek, like, that long term, like, man, I made this mistake years ago and I'm going to go make this right this week. That's reconciliation. That's a big forgiveness. That takes time. But the little things, the things that we did just this morning or on our way to church. I'm sorry, Lucy, this is my 5-year-old. Daddy yelled at you. Will you please forgive me? I was short tempered. Or apologize to your parents, teenagers, or kids in here. You can apologize to your parents, and they know that you heard the sermon, but if you apologize to them, I think you're going to get a lot of points. It's going to be really good for you, because they're going to be so impressed. But apologizing to our parents, apologizing to your coworkers, your boss, your friends, your family, your spouse, I guarantee almost every single one of us probably could apologize once a day to our spouse for something they did. Or, again, I have a lot of experience. I'm just a jerk. I say things I shouldn't. But we can apologize, and I think we should be more willing to do that, more open to doing that, because it's good for you. No discipline, no apology seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your ultimate forgiveness for our sins. I mean, for the reason why we're all here. It's because you, years ago, died and forgave us for all the things we did, because we can't be perfect on our own. But God, I pray that we don't see forgiveness as something just to get ahead or something I have to do, but I want everybody to take away that forgiveness is good for you. And I want in my life, point out to me, let me see my transgressions as King David did. Let me know and feel the weight of the things that I've wronged. And let me go seek forgiveness and seek that humility and kind of restart and restore those relationships. I thank you for this church of people who are loving you and loving others and put it into actions. Amen.